Norwegian or what
yeah.
is
my grandmother made it.
If that's Norwegian, is it?
Well, yes.
Are you from Norway?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Huh. Trying to figure out what sort of a name is your name pronounced
Daly?
Daly. Daly.
Yeah.
How did you get into skiing? What interested you for skiing?
Pardon?
What interested you for skiing? How did you get into
it? In Norway, they put me all skiing.
Did you ski from the time you were a little boy?
Yeah.
How old?
I guess so.
5, I guess.
So as soon as you could walk, did you start to ski? Or when you were 5 years old, maybe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When did you move?
I used to ski when I went to school.
Oh, really? When did you move to Canada?
I came to Canada.
1928.
What type of events were you in?
Pardon?
What type of events were you in?
Kind of skiing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you skied. We understood you. We've seen pictures and read stories about you and your ski jumping.
All the kids jumped, I went to the other kids, and I guess.
They had tournaments like, you know, the neighbors and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is in Norway?
In Norway, yeah.
So in Norway, the kids would have little races together?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And when did you start going off the big jumps?
Well...
I came to Canada and... Yeah, but you jumped in Norway.
Yeah.
When he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
How's the attitude changed towards skiing?
Is skiing a different kind of sport now than it was when you started skiing? Or people...
I guess the hills are getting bigger all the time.
Mm-hmm. What, people ski more difficult hills?
No.
Larry Lutz, I was talking to Larry Lutz last week, and he was talking about skiing with you, going over the Cronins and touring through the mountains, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, and he was saying the kind of stuff that you would ski down, that you'd ski down really steep things through the trees and you'd ski on everything.
No, I don't think Larry wants to go skiing with him again. I know he could do it, but that time he didn't want to.
I guess you were a pretty wild skier. You could ski on anything.
Oh, yeah.
I built a cabin up in the mountain here in, what year was that?
64, 65, something like that.
Hmm?
64, 65?
Yeah, I guess so.
Was this on the ski hill, you mean?
No, up in the mountain.
Okay, where? Where was that?
You were the first one up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't explain what it is because there's so many up there now.
Uh-huh.
You were the only one up there before.
So you built that cabin and you'd ski in to stay there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a trail up the mountain from here.
Mm-hmm. And what, did you go up there quite often? Did you have a cabin up here too?
Well, I have a cabin up.
We built a cabin up there, so you can stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I was young, not anymore.
And did you go up there a lot in the winter time to your
cabin? Yeah.
Uh-huh. How long did it take you to ski up there?
Oh, I guess about an hour.
An hour? How high up was the cabin? How far?
Well, it must be about 10 miles up there.
10 miles?
From the
Duty Road. Huh. Larry Lutz said that you used to have a cabin and that you had a dairy farm? But you had cows here?
No, we never had. Yeah, we had cows in it.
For milk? But it was just cows for your own, yeah. Said that you'd go up there and when it was time to milk, you'd ski down and...
I stayed up there overnight, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to go down and milk the cows. Well, he was... Well, I'm not going to be interviewed, but he's a farmer to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the important skills for skiing?
What does it take to be a good skier in this part of the world?
Practice, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to Canada, I stayed overnight in Prince George, and I first came out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then saw a bunch of fellas with skis on their shoulders, and I called out, I joined them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I could ski lots better than those fellas.
That was in Prince George. Was that when you were coming to Smithers?
Yeah, in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Did you teach, when you came to Smithers, did you teach a lot of people here how to ski? Were there many people skiing here when you moved here?
No, there wasn't too many when I first came here. But
you never teach skiing.
Skiing's really popular here now, though.
Well, it costs too much money, though.
To
ski.
To ski.
To get equipment.
It's expensive.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
When we were skiing, we never had any money.
Where did you get your skis from?
Oh, he made them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you make the skis out of?
Hickory planks.
Hickory planks?
Yeah.
And how did you form them?
There was a fellow in town here named Harry Orm. He was making skis.
And he would, buy hickory and steam it, or to bend, to get the curve?
Oh,
or?
Yeah, steam.
So did your, how old were your children when they started to ski?
Mm-hmm. For skiing, mm-hmm. You came to Canada when you were 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, so your children were born in Norway?
Yeah.
Oh, I see, and then you came over as a family. Mm-hmm. That's a big move. How long did it take to get to Canada?
I think we're on the boat and the train, about
14
days.
Wow.
To come out here.
And why did you come to Smithers? Did someone tell you?
I don't know.
Well, I...
Any place, I guess.
I came out here to work.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow had a contract with a railroad to supply them with ice, because we didn't have a freezer on the railroad. They just had ice,
mm-hmm.
houses on the divisional points, and they harvested ice on Lake Captain.
Yeah, and so you got a job doing that.
Yeah.
And when did you build your house?
54.
Mm-hmm.
No, in 34, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And so did you build the house as soon as you moved here, or did you live somewhere else to start with?
Well, we lived 1 year downtown.
Rented a house, or?
We built a kind of a shack over here. Where that cabin is now.
Oh, the cabin over here.
Yeah.
That was what you lived in first?
We lived there and built the house here.
Did you build the house all by yourself? The two of you? Did you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It looks very warm in the winter, the logs.
It's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I borrowed a horse from old Norwegian, that he lived out by Lake Atlin. I paid him 50 cents a day for a horse.
Oh, to use his horse? What, to pull the logs?
Yeah.
Oh, so where did the logs come from, up here?
No, it's up here.
If somebody came up to you to ask you where would be a good ski area, where would be a place that would be really good for skiing?
You mean around here, Shane?
Yeah.
Close by?
Besides the hill up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
downhill,
you can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How about downhill? Where would be some good places for downhill?
Up the mountain here. That's the downhill.
Did you have anything to do with getting the ski hill going here? Were you involved in that? The ski hill, when the ski hill first opened? Did you ski up there with your children? On the ski hill?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Every week.
We went to go up to what we call Sinland Lake.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cabin up there.
Mm-hmm.
Where we stayed overnight.
With your children?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the road that's up to Silver now, is that the road that you would go up?
Yeah.
That's fairly steep in places. It's a good ski up there. Yeah.
Well, we skied up. We packed all the food.
And the children skied along?
Oh, they were ahead.
Oh, yeah. Is that cabin there still?
I don't know. I don't think so. It was just some old cabin, some miners.
Mm-hmm. Was it up at above
Tree
Line?
Yeah, up at Silver Lake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you go in there in the summertime too? Because it's sure beautiful up there in the summer.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Or maybe not in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. How long did you ski jump for? I saw a picture of you in that Smithers Swamp to Village book when you were ski jumping. Did you do that for very many years?
Yeah, I was skiing, jumped in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I did most of the jumping.
Oh, I see. So when you were in Norway, you went into competitions as a jumper?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
All kinds of competitions.
Mm-hmm. And did you, when you came to Canada, did you ski jump?
Yeah. I guess I stayed overnight in Pennsylvania, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw a bunch of television. His skis on the shoulder, then I owned them, and I was quite a bit better than those fellows. So they wrote to a fellow named Harry Oldham. He lives in Smithers, and then he told him about me, and then he started the ski jump here.
Oh, so until you met Harry Orme, there wasn't a ski jump in Smithers. Was there a ski jump here already when you met Harry Orme?
No.
No? Did you and Harry build the ski jump?
No.
Where was the ski jump?
Right back uptown.
Back on the CN
station. Oh, so it wasn't very far from here then. Could just...
It's still there.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't been used for a number of years anyway.
How big a skis did you use for ski jumping? How long?
Well, they were 7'6".
That's incredible, huh? And did Harry make those?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Harry only, he made skis and sold.
So when you moved to Smithers, did you still compete in jumping? Did you go in competitions?
Oh, yes. Here in Smithers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to Vancouver to jump. What did you like about ski jumping? I always, when you see these people that are ski jumping in on TV and in the Olympics, it always looks like you have to have a lot of guts to do that. That looks pretty scary. What did you enjoy about it?
I enjoyed skiing.
Was it quite a thrill when you go off the end of the jump and you're in the air? Mm-hmm. Is that pretty exciting?
What are your personal feelings about skiing? What are your personal feelings about skiing?
Well, it was kind of everybody. We went to school. We always had a ski to school. We slept on the hill where we start to jump and we went to school.
Do you still ski, Chris? Do you?
No. He was 85 the last time we went up the hill.
Really? Up the hill to where?
Okay. To downhill
ski, you were, really?
Yeah.
What about on cross-country skis?
I did that too.
Well, he did that too, but he quit skiing, you know. He's 92, you know.
Really? You're 92?
Yeah.
So still a spring chicken.
No.
Not quite. That's a long time to be skiing. You must have always been a very strong person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Lutz when he came down, was skiing with him. I think Lutz said that's it.
You couldn't keep up. How many years ago was that when you skied with Lutz?
No.
I was talking to Larry and it doesn't sound like it was very many years ago that you last skied with Larry.
I don't know how long since he skied in, but I know the last time he went downhill, I know that he had some friends with him. And the fellow said,
God,
never seen an 85-year-old ski like that downhill.
Wow.
Well, I guess he started not to see very good, and that was, you know, when you slow down, you have to see the bumps.
Mm-hmm. That's quite something.
Yeah.
The last pair of skis that you used when you downhill ski, were they more modern skis? Were they modern equipment, or did you use older skis?
Wasn't much smaller than old bindings and you know, not what they have, no noise. Nothing like that.
Nothing like what? Like
they have nowadays. You know,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have no, they can't even walk with those boots.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
When you skied on the ski hill, did you use your old style of equipment? Did you have bindings that moved?
Well,
or?
I always had more than...
Not what they have now, Christian. Not what they have now.
No.
Mm-hmm. And binding that was...
That would move.
Lift.
And that's what you used when you skied on the ski hill, too? The kind that lift. Takes a lot of strength in your legs to ski on those.
We had that.
Yeah. How often, when you skied a lot, how often were you on your skis? Did you ski every day, or?
Well, when it was nice weather, I used to went up the mountain from here, have a trail up.
Right to the top?
Yeah.
Really? And how many hours did that take for you?
It took a couple of hours to get to the cabin.
Uh-huh.
Can you recall some of the places where you've skied when you were younger?
I didn't get that.
Oh, where was some of the places you skied when you were younger?
In Norway.
Mm-hmm.
I
most of the
skiing.
Mm-hmm. What about?
But they had a big ski jump in Prince George when I first came here. That one is, building all over that hill, they flatten it.
You don't have it, eh?
No, we don't have it.
So when you were talking before about meeting these other Norwegians and Prince George that had skis, were they also jumping? Did you meet them when you went to go to a contest or a competition?
No. We went up to Barkerville. In the Caribbean country,
mm-hmm.
They had a ski jump. They had a competition there.
Were there ski jumps in a lot of the communities here? Like you're saying, there was a ski jump in Barkerville and in Prince George and in Smithers. Where else? Really?
Oh yeah.
Why is there not much ski jumping in the north now, I wonder?
No, it's downhill and cross country, no.
But it's still an Olympic sport, you know. In some parts of Canada, they have jumps. My boys, I have two boys, and my 9-year-old talks about how he'd love to try that. Mm. You know, the little kids, you take them skiing, and they just like being in the air. They just look for all the bumps and get air time.
Yeah.
And they would love to do that. But it's funny that they don't have more ski jumping in the West.
No, they don't.
You can't really develop a ski jumping team if there's nowhere to jump.
No, that's it too. And you have to have some jumpers.
People. And they have to have somewhere to learn. And if there's nowhere to learn, then you're not going to have jumpers.
No. You know, when there was ski jumping here in the Swedish, here from Vancouver, skiers, you know, and from the other places too. And everything was closed up in town. Everybody went over to the ski hill.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a really big event.
Well, sure it was.
Yeah.
But they had the racing, you know. Didn't have downhill.
Mm-hmm.
It was just racing and ski jumping.
Mm-hmm. Like cross-country kind of racing on a track?
Yeah, cross-country. Yeah.
Larry Lutz was also telling me about some of the tracks that you set up, Chris.
Yeah.
How grueling they were, and how you were the only person that was able to ski them. So you put everybody to the challenge, I guess, with your tracks.
Yeah.
You challenged them all.
Other one had trouble.
He's the vice principal at the high school now.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first, at the alternate school, the woman I work with, we first talked about doing sports and, you know, we tried to think of more outdoor sports. You know, we're talking to people that are into outdoor sports and we wanted to talk to someone who really had done something and loved what they did.
He came in the woods from the mountain down here for us to do my stuff. time if he'd come along, no fear, he said.
Mm-hmm. If he would come, if he would what? Come.
Come, go with him again.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks.
No thanks. Yeah, talking to Larry, I saw him the other day and I was asking him about you because I'd never met you before. And he's obviously very fond of you. He sounds like he's done some fun things with you. But he shook his head, and, you know, like he's like there was nobody who could ski like Chris. Nobody could, you know, he said when you were, I think he was saying, yeah, when you went skiing with him when you were 85 or something,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You go along a trail and there was a big deadfall across the trail, and Larry would climb over it, and you'd get your poles and plant them and hop on top and then hop over the other side, you know, so agile, you know. It's quite something.
Well,
got to be strong for that.
He wouldn't go over it a second time.
No.
No fear of him.
Really.
Luckily,
he's a nice person.
Yeah,
he's really nice.
He's been rich, you know, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I hope too. She's very nice.
They've lived here a long time too, haven't they?
Yeah.
Larry says he's probably still a newcomer compared to some of the people, you know.
Yeah.
We've only been here 20 some odd years or something. 25 years.
I don't know when Larry came here, but I guess he had teaching.
In the 60s, I think he said.
Oh, yeah.
In 1963 or something.
Oh, yeah, that could be, when he came in 30. He came out in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in 32.
With the children?
Yeah.
That's a long time to be apart.
Well.
I guess it was part of moving and settling, and
well,
you had to have a place
work,
to move
you know.
To.
No work.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing it was no work. I got the house away.
Why did you leave Norway?
Depression, like here. Then they came into the depression here.
Mm-hmm. You thought things would be better here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something would be better, but it was the same here.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever want to move back? Or?
No, I don't.
No.
He talked about going back.
Have you gone back to Norway?
Oh
recently?
Yes, like 4 or 5 times.
Oh really? Huh. We have lots of family there, I guess.
Well, they're dying out.
With their children. And,
Well, we have pretty good here. So. And we have our family here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are married, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. How many great-grandchildren do you have now?
22.
22?
Yeah.
Must be hard to keep track of all the birthdays. And
no, it isn't. I keep track of all the
You have a good calendar.
I can't see. That's
mm-hmm.
the trouble with me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see.
Your eyes aren't very good.
No, I can't see. I can't write anything and I can't read.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything
about it. Yeah, I have some cups from the old country in there.
From, oh yeah, from racing?
Yeah.
Can we look?
Yeah, ocean.
Oh, I'd love to see those.
Our son took most of the cops down to Vancouver.
Vancouver?
Yeah.
For what reason?
To put me in a museum down there.
Oh, really? What museum? Is this like a museum of ski?
At the museum for the...
Oh, yeah. Well, BC.
Museum.
Where there's ski tournaments. There's jumping. Then slalom and downhill combined. Well, BC. Oh, this one is from Norway, here. Yeah. Yeah. And these ones that, did you win these small ones too? The different races?
Oh, I mean,
Hot Shots.
Yes.
That's a big city.
Yeah.
Chris beat them all.
Yeah, he did.
Ah, that's quite something.
Yeah. So, my son comes down to.
Yeah. Who?
What cup do you want?
First one. I was given that by the King of Norway.
The King of Norway?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
He was at every tournament.
Huh. Because you were such a good skier. This
well,
one here, do you mean?
Which one? Was a cousin. Which one is it?
Everyone.
Oh, this one.
That one.
No, it's not that. This?
No, that would be fine. That one.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That was from the king. What is it?
There's a place where there was ski tournament in Rome.
Norges? Norwegian. I can't pronounce anything Norwegian.
I can't see. What does it say? I can't see. What year? You can see.
Give me my glasses.
Let me see, I'll spell it. It says N-O-R-G-E-S. N-O-R-G-E-S. And then S-K-I-E-O-R-B-U-N-E.
Yeah,
Nordic year.
Nordic
year. I don't know if it has a year on it. That's quite nice. It's beautiful.
Oh, well, he's been giving away to grandchildren cups, and when our son was up, he took 5 cups down to Vancouver and put it in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the date and the name on it and everything, and he won them. He had to win them 3 times before he got them.
Oh, you have to win 3 times in a row and then you can keep it.
Then
yeah.
So he did that.
Yeah.
Elverum. That's the place where
1920.
1921, that one.
Yeah.
Huh. Wait, something that's beautiful. And this is the King of Norway gave you that. That's beautiful.
He
presented it.
Yeah.
Huh.
He was at the ski tournament.
Oh, he was at all the ski tournaments.
Did he ski?
Oh, yeah. Just for fun,
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But his son.
Jumped. His kingdom.
His kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Olaf.
Yeah.
That was the king's name?
No. The king's name. He's.
He wasn't too bad the jumper.
The son?
No.
Mm-hmm. He took a prize winner when he was 18, I think, in some tournament. I jumped in the same tournaments.
The others,
So skiing is your sport?
Well, yes, it's your sport.
Sit down. I'm still curious, Chris, as to what it is about skiing that you really love. Because you obviously must have loved skiing.
Well, you're outside anyway and get fresh air and you got the time. Did you see the lunches we brought in the ski?
Oh, yeah? What did you take for lunches?
Oh, God, it was a
fun.
Uh-huh. Well, an old Norwegian that lived in a cabin over here. He made skis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cabin up in the mountain he built.
Who built that one?
Yeah.
What, you built it, Chris?
That I built, yeah.
Oh, this one here. Oh, yeah. Oh, that cabin's still there.
It's still there.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Well, the boys got it now.
Uh-huh.
He don't go up there anymore.
Uh-huh.
So we have 2 boys,
2 sons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Martha.
Mm-hmm. And lots of grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
And there were 12 grandchildren, but they're married, and then they had children, so 22 great grandchildren.
That's quite a pile.
Yeah.
It's quite something.
But one grandson that was on the television yesterday.
No, the other night.
The other night.
Oh, yeah. He works for them at Salmon Arm for this, jumping out of the helicopter. What do you call him?
Skydiving.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, was he on one of the fire crews?
Yes.
The firefighting?
Yeah.
The first attack or whatever they call it?
Yeah. He's in charge of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Been for 3-4 years now.
What's his name?
Mark Daly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does much of your family live around here still?
Oh, yeah, my daughter lives over here,
mm-hmm.
and her husband.
Uh-huh.
And my granddaughter, she lives up at Seymour Lake, and I have another granddaughter.
Oh, you have a granddaughter at Seymour Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, what's her name?
Sylvia Pearson.
Oh, she drives a bus, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just moved out there recently, too.
Up to Seymour Lake?
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't met her.
Did you build a house out there?
No, I bought a little house. It's just off the Ski Hill Road. It used to belong to Peter. It's just before the turnoff to Seymour Lake. When you go up the hill, you know, there's a little log place on the right-hand side that's kind of a low-looking building. And it's right across the road.
Oh, I see. They bought a house up there last year.
Mm-hmm.
They used to live in a trailer over here.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer belongs to Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Martha and Jack, they have a house about 40 acres over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they built a house.
Mm-hmm.
And their daughter built another house.
You see that? View of the sea from there.
Yeah.
You walked up the trail here and first came here.
Hmm.
Well, the kids used to clear the hill. It was clear, you know. It's all open.
Really, it's all grown in.
No, it's all grown in.
A lot of work keeping a trail open all
time.
Oh, yes, getting on a dead willow rock.
Well, you ski, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We had the ski tournament there in the first. We came here in the served, made coffee out there and served
hot dogs and coffee.
That's always nice on a cold day.
Yeah. Well, I always got something to make coffee.
So that ski tournament was that a tournament that was on a track, racing on a track?
No, just the hill over there, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, this was at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a few, you know. And of course, it didn't cost anything. And nobody had any money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Those years.
When you skied? Do you have any pictures of when you skied?
No.
Pictures?
No.
No.
None.
I think there are some broken pictures down there. Mm-hmm.
I think
they got one, and then he gave a cup to the museum down there.
Oh yeah, I think they have, because I remember a couple of years ago, before, you know, when I was new to the area, going into the museum and seeing, they had a display, I think, at one time of you and shots of you and that sort of thing there for a while.
Was the one that Hansen gave you, wasn't it, Lisa? You give that big cup to the museum.
Hansen was a member of parliament. He put up a cup. I had to win 3 years in the...
Before he got it. And he was competing with skiers from Vancouver and other places, you know. They came in here to spend it. That was in 35.
But the cops here wasn't like in Norway, they're all silver, but here they're cheap silver plate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had solid silver in Norway.
No,
it
wasn't any solid silver.
Yeah. That's quite nice. Juniper's a beautiful tree. I love juniper trees. When you see them on the sort of south-facing hillsides around here, they're just so nice.
Yeah.
That's not the juniper past Telqua.
Telqua. This came from Telqua.
When you go along the highway?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're neat-looking trees.
Yeah, you ski, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's country. I lived in Stewart for quite a while.
You lived in Stewart?
Yeah, and when we lived up there, we used to do a lot of touring in the mountains around there.
Yeah.
But boy, breaking trail up there is a job, because you can get... Well, I was born in Ontario, but I lived in Stewart, BC.
In Stewart.
For about five or six winters. We just lived there in the winter time.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the skiing there, you sure get a lot of snow. Boy, if you go out after new snowfall, you often break trail in 2 or 3 feet of snow.
That's quite a few skiers from here up to see into Whitehorse.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the boat to Stewart, I guess.
No, too. He went to
skied
all the way into Whitehorse.
Shooting a fork in the summertime. Was there Canada getting in there?
The Whitehorse, yeah.
It took him about a week to ski into Stewart, I think.
No, not
the Whitehorse.
Oh, yes. Those days, you know, people didn't have money and they had to make their own fun, so a lot of it was skiing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just amazes me, like you read, I know in the Seward area, there's a book that was written about the history of that area, and it was written by one of the RCMP officers up there.
Oh, yeah.
And when you read his stories of what they did in the line of duty in those days, it's incredible. Those guys were fit. Someone would be missing in the mountains, and they'd put on the snowshoes, and they'd be trekking in for 3 days looking for a missing person and come out again, you know, and they... People nowadays, you know, you got helicopters and snowmobiles.
Yeah, but then the helicopters fall.
But these guys, you know, it was just part of... It was... They didn't sort of question why they were doing it, or if it was too much work, they just did it. People's idea, I think, of... physical effort and distance is much different now than it used to be.
Well, it's time is normal. We lived 4 years. We lived out at Lake Cat, and he looked after this MP's farm out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in, and his Hansen was in Alva, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 miles from Lake Cat and into the school in Smithers, he just walked every day,
mm-hmm.
and into the skis.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 miles every day.
Mm-hmm.
And all the books they had to carry. And
good for them.
Even kids in town didn't go to school because it was too cold or too much snow. But our
kids did.
Never missed a day.
Hardy.
No. Sometimes I wanted to stay home when it was 30 below, but no.
They went anyways. You just got bundled up. And what's the good thing about skiing? Once you get moving, you're warm.
Yeah.
It's the standing around that's always cold.
But now they have school buses, and nobody walks anymore.
Yeah, not many kids do, it seems.
But they don't know how to walk this. Like my great-grandchildren come along and say, why don't you walk? I said, walk? That's too far. Listen, I said, how many years did I walk to town from here? Carrying groceries?
Mm-hmm.
No car, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Well, time has changed.
Yeah, for here it has. In some country to go, you know, like if you go to a place like Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
People there, they know how to put up with discomfort. You know, they carry the kids and the groceries and everything miles, and then get on the bus and hold the stuff on their head for hours and hours. And they don't complain, and the kids are fine, you know.
No.
It's different, isn't it?
Oh, well, it's... They're pretty spoiled in this country. Well, Silva's husband, he works for the school board. He works for the school board.
What's his name?
Garth Pearson.
Oh, Garth, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's an electrician, you know, he's fixing computers.
How old is he?
Computers. And very wise.
I think he's been by our school before.
Yeah,
he was electrical work.
Yes,